tuned into Madiba's Radio, broadcasting live from Nelson Mandela University.
I have fought against white domination, and I have fought against black domination. I have carried the idea of a democratic and free society, in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunity. It is an idea which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if need be, it is an idea for which
Nelson Mandela University. Change the world. You're tuned into Madiba's Radio, changing the world one voice at a time.
Greetings to all the listeners of the Benchwoman Madiba's Radio. It's your boy, Coach Time, and we're here again this afternoon to bring you the news that is big, better, massive for this weekend. It's an honor and a great privilege to be joined, to be hosted by this legend himself, Nathan Gogela, as well as the legend himself, Makaya Chekapagum. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for having me, and I'm looking forward to it.
Sir Jack, Mastaling Gawe, your initial thoughts of for me, like, test this bean.
Are we making a review now?
Just a summary of test this bean.
No, I think, okay, thanks, Cox, for having me, and thanks also for the for the energetic legend on the other side. and also greetings to the viewers and listeners. I think the box got it right. On the second test. The kicking was better. My accurate. I'm talking about technical kicking. I'm not talking about box kicking. I'm talking about technical kicking. If you have noticed, both kicks tactically and accurately resulted to tries. And that's what we want to see. Not just kicking and giving possession away. Because by doing so, you are tiring your forwards, you are draining their energy. Come scrum time, maul time, rug time, they are dead because they're tired of the up and down. Kind of you're playing Wimbledon in a 100-meter. In a 100-meter field, you know. but yeah, I want to say, and also having halfbacks, my belief and my philosophy in rugby, halfbacks are the CEOs of the company. They take strategic decisions in the field of play. So I think they read the game well. They played well. And, unlike the first test, I think they made corrections from the first test, yes. That's why I think the score was that much.
Let's move on to Coach Time. There have been biting incidents that happened. Stuart Hogg was seen while we assuming by Iperto Vanillaru. Then another one that we don't know about, Carl Sinclair, was apparently charged for biting Franco Mostert. I mean, what are your thoughts?
Personally, I think that World Rugby decided to choose the one that many people didn't see, because I only saw Carl Sinclair biting Mostert after they kept on replaying it. And also after the replays, he barely can see it in that ruck. But what was more evident was Stuart Hogg biting Vanillaru. But for me, I just think it was just a frustration, because the Lions probably thought to themselves that they're not going to come back to this game, and they just decided to be dirty, you know. But for me, I think the consistency where it lacked in that game was when they just said that Carl St. Clair is going to be attending a disciplinary hearing for biting Franco Mostert, whereas Stuart Hogg was biting Willie Roux in front of everyone to see. But, I can never think of the people that make those rules. But for me, I was just very flabbergasted with the fact that they only saw Carl St. Clair. That was the only problem in that game. Carl St. Clair biting Franco Mostert. So for me, it was very strange.
Now, sticking on officiating, Sir Jack, Sibonile U, Rassie Rasmus, obviously got charged for all his misdemeanors on social media. I mean, he posted a 62-minute video explaining the officiating errors by World Rugby officials. Jay, can you just give us your thoughts on the whole situation?
I think much as I'm reluctant to go into it, I think both sides of the camps were at each other's throat before and after the games. So I just think that World Rugby, because I'm not sure who's representing us in the World Rugby. I'm not sure. But they are bossing South Africa around. I guess we're not supposed to be treated the way we are treated. We are world champs. We should be given respect, you know. And because if I remember, before the first test, it was Warren Gantland who was on the officials, and nothing was said. Now come Rassie, and so yeah, I think I would end there. I would not love to.
Okay, I mean, let's move on to Coach Simi. Maybe he wants to elaborate further, because we spoke about this last week. Do you think that it was the channels that he used? Yeah. He used social media. I don't know. Maybe because he used social media as a platform. Maybe.
Yeah. To be quite honest, like what we mentioned last weekend, you know, social media. There's a lot of power in social media. You know, if you want to get a point across, more especially with the fact that you are a public figure like Rassie Erasmus, you know, if you want to get a point across, you're going to use your platform. You're going to use your social media platforms. YouTube, okay? For that, but we have a strong audience. We have Sundays, as even Lendo. Then if So for me, I'm stuck in the fence, you know, as much as Rassie may have made valid points in that video. But then people will say that no, maybe he shouldn't have done it because it was attacking. For me, I don't really feel that he was attacking. He wasn't attacking them personally. He was just attacking their calls, you know, as to why they're going to make a call like this, whereas with that you don't make a call, you know. So, I mean, the inconsistencies with the laws as well. I was very interested to see how the malls will be officiated, more especially after we saw in Super Rugby Aotearoa, when you could see that people were swimming in like defensive lineups, they were swimming, but the ref doesn't call it in this game. But then the next game, the ref calls it. So I think for me, it's not the officials who were there at the game. I just think maybe it's the inconsistencies of the laws. And for me, I feel like Rassie Erasmus did not attack anyone. He was just showing the inconsistencies within the laws. But maybe, game, World Rugby thought that Aibo, this guy's attacking us, was a lie. You and Yaku Johan, let's have a talk. Yeah, you know. So I just feel as if it was just the inconsistencies. And just to add on to Sir Jack, saying that we're being bullied around. All the 50-50 calls were going against the away side. Our injuries were not focused on. There's only the opposition injuries. There's a lot where just the officials themselves not showing any respect to our captain. Just the people around the world with their articles not showing respect to our captain. I mean, we have Ben Smith calling us champions. You have Ben Smith calling us alleged champions of rugby championship. For me, that is not banter. That is personal, because now that just shows that he has no respect. And I think just to add on as well to what Sir Jack said, they don't respect us.
Sir Jack is sticking on officiating Utingo. Okay, performance ka Ben O'Keefe, classic second test.
I think Ben O'Keefe, I think he got a wake-up call as well. Whatever he had his mind before he took the whistle, but that he was on his toes. And I think you see what What I don't understand about referees, there are four referees in a game. There is the main man in the middle of the park. There are two on the sidelines. There's a TMO. So I cannot understand why would they get wrong? Four guys. Mm. And it's just a question of not interpreting, but applying the law. That's all. But I think Beno, answering your question, Beno, I think he stamped his authority and he didn't want to be bullied. And because he wanted a fair chance for him to make right calls. He didn't want to be nervous. He wanted to be composed. And yes, he was composed and he gave right calls.
Let's move on to the selections. Peter Steph is obviously out. Nofaf is out. They chose who Franco Mostert to go at seven. I mean, Coach Timo, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, with the Franco Mostert moving from lock to a flank, I didn't like him now because he was great. Mostert, Yamba Yota, to be quite honest. And I mean, we can't be. As South African rugby lovers, I don't think we can be upset with the fact that they chose Franco over Umako van Staden. Because I mean, Nangu Peter Stefna, he started off as a lock and then they shifted him to number seven and he became a World Player of the Year at number seven. And we see how Franco Mostert, I beg your pardon, works in the field. He has an engine for days. So moving him from lock to flank does make sense to me, because I think what Russell is trying to do is that to keep the size and to keep the physicality within the pack. You know, so if you lose a guy like Franco Mostert in the starter and you put Marco van Staden, then you lose the size going forwards and a physicality. So I think for me, but at the end of the day, there's a pro and con towards that selection, because now we don't have a lock on the bench. God forbid both those locks get injured, then Gengogo will be found wanting. So I think, well, the two locks that are starting will have to finish the game. We'll have to finish the game as well as Franco. At least to Franco, we know that should something happen to maybe one of the locks, Franco can slot in that lock, then Marco van Staden goes to the flank. But for me, I support that call. I support that selection of having Franco at seven, because for me personally, he's all far, quite his shoulder, macala onke ngomgqibelo. So I think that was the right call. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to roll the dice. Mm.
Sticking on the situation Euro 7, do you think they made a right call by putting Franco at 7 rather than having at least a lock on the bench just as a cover, just in case maybe a potential injury? Because I mean, at Kabilin, we don't have any, we only have Lucy's on the bench.
You must remember, Sisange, before the series, we had a crisis about locks. Most of them have been injured. So the coach has to play out his what is in front of him. It's not a bad call giving Franco Mostert at seven. However, what is more nervous to me is Franco Mostert, his attacking style is typical lock. He wants to just go in best. But if you look at Peter Stepp, he knows when to bash, he knows when to stand on his feet. So, the only nervous part in my side, Franco Mostert, if he can have an ability in certain areas where he can stand on his feet, because in rugby, if you're on the ground, you're out of the play, you must leave everything, you see? So, if you can always just look at the areas where he can stand up his feet to be able to offload or to pass or to link up with other Lucys, to me, I'm fine with him. His work rate, as the coach has said, his work rate is unbelievable. Nobody can take anything off. But if he can just be on his feet at the right time, at the right place, I'm covered.
Okay, then let's move on to Linda. But the situation Upumile. Then Samaz, Hershey was on the bench for the past two games, but he's still stuck on the bench because Urena comes in. I mean, Coach, what's your thoughts on Kobus Reinach starting ahead of Uchanchis, who's allegedly second choice has come off?
You see, with Uchanchis, I mean, I was also quite surprised until I actually understood maybe the possibilities of that call being made. For me, I feel like Kobus Reinach does offer some injection in terms of pace with general play. You know, he might be slower than Herschel Yankees with the passes off the deck in the ruck, you know, but I think for the style of play that Russ is looking for this weekend, him opting for Kobus Reinach According to my understanding, it does make sense. I mean, in terms of pace, covering, because if you, I'll give you an example. If you remember Faf de Klerk last weekend when he made that typical textbook sweeper defense where Dan Biggar tried to chip over the rush defense, and then all of a sudden Faf was there as a sweeper. You know, I think for that particular pace, Urenach is as quick as Faf de Klerk to cover that. As for Herschel Jantjies, who's got a better pass, from the deck, who's got a more accurate pass and maybe a better box kick. I mean, we haven't seen much of Kobus Reinach and his box kicks. We've only seen him for his pace and also the ability to link, let's say, there's a break in the defensive line. The person will always be there is Kobus Reinach. And if he gets the ball, no one is going to catch him. So I think to start off the game for the first 60 minutes, get Kobus Reinach, put pressure in the fringes, in the rucks, put pressure in defense, put pressure in attack. And then in the second half, you put Jantjies to finish off with a better, with accurate passing from the deck, and then make better box kick just to apply the pressure with the back three for the Lions. That's just my two cents.
Such XMRs, Reinach is known as a attacking scrum off rather than a tactical one where it doesn't kick as much. But do you think him playing overseas as well obviously gives him an advantage over Jantjies because he understands the players as overseas?
Yeah. I think that's the only reason. To me, I understand all the factors that have been said about. It is just that I think because he has experience of playing overseas, and he knows how those guys are playing their side. Because if you remember, overseas Northern Hemisphere sides are always victimizing and exploiting 10 and 12 channel. So I think with Kobus pace closing there. I think it's an option because he's used to that kind of play. He's not going to be relaxed just behind the base of the scrum. He is going to do that cover up at the base of, in terms of defense, in terms of, because we know, but I'm not sure about his tactical kicking though. But I think the experience of playing and overseas, I think it gave him a nod.
Sticking on that word experience, Sambono Monestein has been included on the bench. Is that a surprise for you, Sir Jack?
Never. If you notice, many people are checking me, but it's fine. But I'm looking at Morne. I'm looking at Morne 15 years ago. I'm looking at Morne now. Morne Stein is a matured wine now. Look, he's been playing for the Bulls and not the same way he was playing 10, 15 years ago. He's giving his ball to his centers now. He knows how to kick now. He doesn't kick the way he used to kick. Look, he had Cornel Hendrick next to him. He knew he has a very explosive dynamite next to him. So therefore he cannot decorate him and just make him a decoration in the field. He knew when to pass. And the kicks that he kicked, I think to me now he has a vision now as a flyer. I think to me, and what is more intriguing, it's when it's crunch time in terms of goal kicking. I think Mone has that nerve still to take that call and take that penalty if we have to clinch the game.
Sticking on the stain. Samaz as again, Alton Jantjies, who obviously was second choice fly off. But why do you think they gave it to Mone Stein over again? I mean, at the end of it, they also have Damon Willemse.
Can you please repeat that question? I think the network is messing around.
Okay, so you can hear me now.
Let me jump in, Gox. Whilst he's fiddling.
Can you guys hear me?
I
was saying, let me put it this way. Jantjies is a far different fly-up in all the South African fly-ups that we have. He's a flyer. He's an attacking, a closing and a flat attacking flyer. He likes to penetrate on the kicking. It's not in his DNA like the other flyers. And another thing about Damien. Damien, I think he becomes nervous when he sees traffic in front of him. So he doesn't make, he's not composed as a flyer should be. Damien Willemsen, to me, he's still young. He's going to learn that, you know, at fly-up, you need to be composed. You don't have to be nervous because I think he's still busy with nerves because he wants to do a lot of sidestepping and jinking. You can't do that when you are when you're going to the back and the mall, you start ranking. But so you can't be doing a lot of things. But you must make a decision and execute that decision. So I think Morinay to me is the right call.
Coach Time, are you satisfied with the La team for 1 to 15?
Yeah, yeah. Just before I get on to satisfaction of the team, I just want to add on to what Sir Jack said with regard to the experience Kamone being there. I, for one, do understand why that Mone is there. We saw in the second test that maybe Pollard has lost a bit of confidence in terms of his goal kicking because it's not quite often where we see Andre Pollard missing simple kicks like the ones he missed in the first test and the one he missed in the second test. So I think for me, having this series, drawing this series right now with one game to win, you need a trusted boot on the bench in the dire stages of the game, you know. Like, I mean, about 3 points, about vital against these Oaks. So I think having Mone staying there in the bench does offer some security in terms of goal kicking. But like I said previously, there's a pro and there's always a con. Now, having Mone staying there in the bench, that's going to be a psychological battle for Andre Pollard, knowing that, oh, wow, I might get subbed in this game. So I have to make sure I get my kicks, you know. But just to get on to the starting team, I mean, I'm happy, you know. Not all of us can be happy with the starting team. I mean, I'll put someone else there, you'd put someone else, but then the coaches are put there in the starting team that they feel and trust they can get the job done. Can they get the job done? Yes, they can get the job done if they play with the same intensity that they played with last weekend. Because if you remember, the second test last weekend, I had flashbacks of the Rugby World Cup 2019 where the Lions had no answer second half. Like, these guys just got the ball, bro. Like, when they run to the channel, they want this double hit, bah! Hit the ball out wide, they want a double hit, bah! There was no way. So, second half, they scored no points. They scored no tries in the whole game of the second test. So, for me, psychologically, the Springboks do have an advantage with that team. And also, if you look at the back three, you have Uchesne Nkobe, Mapimpi and Willie Leroux, World Cup winning back three. And then now, all of a sudden, Stuart Hogg is dropped in the lines. You have Liam Wilson. You have Anthony Watson. You have who's this? I forgot his name. But they're all two. Yes, that's the one. So now they're all tall. So it's quite obvious the kind of game the Lions are going to have. They're going to kick it. Not knowing that, Tina, when we have the ball, we will kick when we want to kick. If we have the ball, the same way we beat England. So I think it's a tactical game between the two coaches. Warren Gatland thinks that the Springboks are going to kick up and down all the time. We're going to play something different. That's what I'm thinking, looking at with these two selections.
So, Jaxicon selections, Sabona, backline, Emabobo, have stuck. It's been the same right throughout since the Georgia test. Do you think they picked themselves?
First and foremost, we must remember that the Boks didn't have game time since the World Cup. And so they were rusty a little bit, and they should have been getting game time. So, as you see that first quick Georgia, there was two rusts in that game, and first test was two. But from last week's game, they were an oiled machine. You could see the partnering of Willemsen and Ukuku. So that synergy came back again. We could see the synergy that we saw at the World Cup. And you don't change a winning group, Cox. You don't change a winning combination.
Set check. The problem, lies.
This is a final.
The problem
this
lies.
This is a final.
Yeah, I understand. But the thing is, the problem lies whereby, complacency. Whereby, yes, backline, they choose, they pick themselves. But complacency might start to creep in, whereby they feel comfortable because knowing the next week they'll be picked again.
I don't think so, Chep, because we must remember, this is the war has been brewing for 12 years. So there can be no complacency. And you saw in the first half last week, there can be no complacency. It's war. It's war, Chep. It's war. There's no complacency. You must suddenly your weapons going to the war.
Okay, Masien, go. Yes.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to add on there. You do have a point, Renard Goggs, in terms of complacency. But if you think about it this way, we haven't had the privilege, because of the COVID, we haven't had the privilege of playing many other tests like last year, where we could have used other combinations in the back line as well as the team. So now for this Lions tour to happen, we had to get our best players to play. And even those best players didn't have any game time. So it's almost as if now, Sifakwenje, you know. So, but both chains are correct, you know. But unfortunately, we didn't have the privilege of having a lot of tests to experiment different combinations, to play around with our depth in the back line. Like, for example, I'd love to see with Damien Willems are starting at 12 against Tulukanya, you know. I mean, I'd love to see, Umone Steyn at Flower again, starting at Flower. But unfortunately, we couldn't get those tests to be able to experiment. But
then moving on to the Lions. Lions make 9 changes, which is obviously expected because by a better team on the day. Price comes back in. Ali Price comes back in at scrum off. Liam Williams moves to the fullback. Stuart Hogg is out to Josh Adams comes in. Pipe in. In the place of Watson, Wynn Jones comes in at loose prop. Vunipola goes to the bench. Bandy Aki comes in at 12. Sir Jack, your thoughts?
I think first and foremost, I think I would love to be tempted to say, I think Gatland is panicking now. He's panicking.
Yeah.
Because first and foremost, Josh Adams. Is that top try scorer? Yeah. But he has been sidelined all the way. They are putting more pressure on him now. Bandy Aki has not been tested, and you know, I think he, as you are saying, coach Amakas, wishing the news.
Warrington. Yes, no, about the thoughts on the changes from the Lions.
I was saying, I'm tempted to say Gatland is panicking. Those are signs of panic. You can't make such changes. I think 6-7 changes, I'm not sure, because you can't do that in the final. I think that lost, it's a big blow to him. And what also concerned me is because Josh Adams was a box top try scorer. But for strange reasons, he was not even in the bench. He was sidelined altogether. Bandy Aki was also not even on the bench. He was sidelined. And all the players that came in, I'm not sure they are going to make any inroads, because Bandy Aki is one-dimensional player. So it's easy to set a trap for him. But my worry is Josh Adams, because that boy is a flyer. We need to close him down quickly, and that's the only thing that we need to do. Maybe, because I see Finn Russell on the bench too. Maybe they're trying to run the ball wide now. I'm not sure. But I'm confident about our defense pattern.
Sabona, Coach Tim, about who Adams comes in, obviously top try scorer for the Lions. Upande Aki comes in. We mentioned, Jack mentioned these players. Don't you think these players are hungry to perform, and obviously they will be pushing to make a difference? And then the last thing is, Piet comes in on the at lock on the bench for the Lions. Obviously, big, tall, physical guy. So, do you think that's all these things that they're trying to nullify the strengths of the box? Because then we know the box are good in set pieces. They want to stop in the lineouts and lineout malls. And then obviously with Bundy Aki trying to stop Damien Dalendi. I mean, what are your thoughts?
You see, the first person that I'm going to say, or rather mention, that I feel sorry for is Ian Henderson. You know, top player, world-class player, but hasn't featured in one game in the British and Irish Lions series in the three tests. Very, very disappointing about that. But for me, it's quite evident. You can see Warren Gatland is going for size.
Yeah.
In his pack, he's going for size and physicality to try and match the box. I mean, Courtney Laws has been playing at six the whole series, you know, whereas we only know him as a lock. So when I saw Courtney Laws going at six, I just knew that, but okay, if we need physicality against the Springboks, and you can see there's a change in the front row. You have Wyn Jones and Terrence Furlong, you know, that those are heavy, heavy boys, heavy, heavy, big boys. So I think for me, Warren Gatland is just going for size. Also agreeing with you, Sir Jack, with the fact that Warren Gatland might be panicking a bit because he knows that one mistake, the box can exploit those mistakes, you know. But in terms of a psychological aspect of things, yes, the players that have been put there to start for the Lions might be hungry. But in terms of gelling with the rest of the players at such a crucial game, I think that's where we have the advantage psychologically. Put aside the fact that we might have injuries in very, very important places. Like, we have played the whole series without Dwayne. Don't eat my head, but personally, I've forgotten about Dwayne in the series. I only missed Dwayne in the first test when Kwakwa was playing eight. That's when I missed Dwayne. But then, of course, but now we are adapting to play without Dwayne. And for me, that is good for Springbok Rugby because Dwayne Vermeulen could be retiring next year or in the World Cup. Then what happens after the World Cup? So for me, I like the fact that Rasheed is just giving Jasper Visser another opportunity. But now, going back to the Lions, Warren Gatland, he's going for power. He's going for aerial bombardment the whole game. And then second half, he's going to put on Finn Russell. And Finn Russell thinks that he'll be skipping two players. But he can try that. Who'll be there chasing Kobe? He can try that. Who'll be there? Who'll be Leroux? He can try with those skip passes. So for me, I think the Lions don't have a game plan. They can play towards what they practice during the week. But I feel like, Tina, we already know how they're going to play. Carbora, they don't know how we're going to play because they only know us as power, strength, and speed.
Maybe to add on there, they can be big guys, you know. They can be big. It all depends about what is the size of their heart.
Okay, here we go.
And Kakuti, as a box, it's traditional and it's in our DNA to do that. So we are not going to be asked to do that. Ask any South African player to get into that. The first thing it will give you is physicality. Mm. You know, so
surely.
It's not something that we want to learn it there. So what I'm trying to say is they might be big in everything, in size and everything, but if they can also execute their physicality, then it's another story. But I doubt that they can do that because now coming to this game, there's going to be a lot of noise in their ears and minds and heard because it's do or die. Remember, these are new guys, more or less half of the team, and there has not been synergy in the team. So the more they're going to be nervous going to the team. I think it's going to play into our advantage.
Yes, I think, Coach Tim, I think when you mentioned who's Dwayne, I think, yes, we missed Dwayne. I think who, Siposo Onoche, and unfortunately, he wants Agele, obviously a long-term injury.
Oh, wants Agele.
Yeah, so I think the main point was, missing the leadership part, Kaka Dwayne, because obviously he has a big presence, Ebalin. Then speaking on Landau, Kaka Finn Russell, no, Ferro, because Amazo Ferro, he got sacked, for Fako Finn Russell. I said, check. Can you the difference between Ufun Russell no Ferrell?
You've got. It's just like the same thing you were asking me about. Is player Fredo Mornestein Kunya no Elton Yanchis, you know. The other one is a go-getter and a bowler. The other one is a kicker. Russell, he likes the ball in hand more. And you can win a game, Russell. Simultaneously, you can lose the game, guys. He's a very unpredictable chap. So he needs to be closed down quickly if he gets into the field of play. Mm.
Do we expect anything different from Lions Clay weekend? Because obviously they've named a totally different bench and obviously a few personnel changes. Could it mean? I mean, Coach Tim, what are your thoughts? I mean, the game plan now.
For me personally, I don't think there's much that they can bring. They're just going to come with heart. They're just going to come with aerial kicks. Because, I mean, Babu Nito Tobana. We saw in the first test with those aerial, with those kicks straight down to the wings, where you had Duan van der Merwe contesting at high ball against Chesley and Colby, where you had on the other, Patumaka Pimpina, he held his own. But they're going to try to use that. For me, I think they'll try to use that same game plan, first series, in using the height advantage with the back three, like with Josh Adams, Liam Williams, and Italian. So for me, I think they'll just try and play, they're going to gamble, kick the ball up, chase, try and contest with Chase and Kobe, territorial kicks, because they're not going to match us with physicality. I mean, they can try and match us for the first 55 minutes, but we saw in the second test that their bodies start to give away. So they're not going to match us physically. They're going to try and kick for territory. They'll try to get points, those 3 points penalties. And I just hope as well that we also have to watch out for our discipline as well, because we're bigger. So yeah, that's just what I think.
Mbuzo Qobela madoda ngifuna nje I predictions Sir Jack siqala ngawo decider
the Bucks are going to win, but it's going to be a very close game because everybody's going to put his body on the line. If you look at the Lions, the way they are like getting into the field, even coming to South Africa, they kind of, they are soldiers going to a war. So psychologically, they coming with that in mind. Whatever happens, they're going to throw everything. However, as the coach has said on the other side, discipline will be utmost. And I think that's where we need Mornay's educated boot idling at the bench.
Coach Tim, predictions.
What's happening?
Predictions. The last question.
For me, predictions boxed by 15. The first half is going to be an arm wrestle, to be a chess game. Second half is going to open up. They're going to be battered and bruised. They'll realize that we're not going to score here. We're not going to beat these folks. You'll see the body language. They're not going to be up for it. The box by 15. And it's going to be a proper beating.
Okay. Box by 15 it is. Box winning both sides.
Go home. Going all out, mate. Both sides. Going all out.
Gentlemen, it's been lovely having you on the bench warmer. Thanks for your insight on this weekend's game. We look forward to you guys having you guys after this test as well next week. So thank you very much, gentlemen, on being here on the bench warmer.
Thank you, Bugs.
Adios.
Thank you, Sir Jack. What a legend. What a legend. What a legend. Apparently, back in the days, used to make chamoulet yogurt back in the days. They don't know you, Sir Jack. Easy. Well, special man.
Hi, I'm Figile Mbalula, commonly known as Razmataz Mbawizi Fligile on Flick. You are listening to Madiba's Radio. Keep rocking the Metro, Nana. Let's go.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio, opening up the waves for you to be heard.
4-3.
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. To the team announcement of the last test against the British and Irish Lions. This coming weekend, there's been There's been three changes in the starting lineup. The first change is Lode Jager is coming in from the bench to lock position, and he's in the place of Franco Mostert, who moves from lock into the seven position in the place of Peter Steph Tutoi, who got injured in the game. And then another injury change is Kobus Reinach, who's in for Faf de Klerk. And then obviously, with Luit moving up from the bench into the starting lineup, Morne Steyn has come on to the bench in the place of Lode Jager.
I am the connection
that
they have connection problems. If you can get Matt to start you off, thank you. Zina, can you tell Matt to start with the questions?
Matt, you can start with the questions.
Thank you, Jacques. Good afternoon. So the man himself is next to you there, and we'll get to him in a moment. But just that change in scrum half with Herschel Jantjies having been on the bench for the first two tests, but Kobus having started against Georgia, can you just talk us through that selection?
Yes, Matt. We feel within our setup and within our the type of rugby we play and the game plan that we play, we feel that Kobus, and we said it before previously, that we feel Kobus and Faf, the style of play and the skill sets that they bring to our team is similar. Where Herschel is a little bit different, you know, out of the box. So, and for us going forward into this test match, we feel that it's a like-for-like change in terms of bringing Kobus on, and then we have Herschel that can always bring that intensity, like he always does off the bench, you know. So that's a decision, bringing Kobus in from outside the 23 into the starting lineup.
Jacques, there was talk of Dwayne Vermeulen coming back into camp and a whole lot of medical procedure that he's had to go through. Could you just tell us about that, which made him not available for selection?
Yeah, no, Matt, Dwayne is in a process of return to play. So the first phase is return to training. So obviously went through his rehab, there is a return to training, and I must say the guys who was in charge of his rehab and return to train did a wonderful job. And obviously he's now in a return to play process, and we just got him into our mix, and he started working with us. That's part of our training yesterday, and like I said, we will not play him if he's not ready, and obviously he's got to be ready in terms of himself being confident. He's got to be ready in terms of things that we change, and hasn't been in the environment for a while, so got to get up to speed with how we do things. And then thirdly, he has to be full on medically fit and conditioning fit, you know. So getting players in, even if you think rugby championship after the British and Irish Lions, and then going abroad to Australasia for the rugby championship, there will be strict protocols in getting players in terms of COVID. So to get players in will take some time. So we will always try and get them in as quick as possible.
And then with the injury to Peter Steph, was there a temptation? You've obviously gone with Kwaka and Marco on the bench again. Was there a temptation in having to move Franco to the side of the scrum to possibly have the likes of a Reinhard Elstad covering lock and flank on the bench?
Yeah, no, Matt, there was definitely a discussion in that sense, you know. The big discussion was, should we stick with a 6-2 split, or should we go to a 5-3 split? And obviously it is a big discussion point in terms of which one we went, but we felt for this specific game, this will be the best option for us to try and get a result on the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, to bring a slight bit of humour to proceedings, I mean, when you say Morne Steyn replaces Lode Jager on the bench, it's not exactly life for life, is it?
No, and again, with Morne coming in, It was also a toss-up between Mornay and Elton. You know, Mornay played for us in the SAA game, and I thought he controlled the game quite well in that game against the British and Irish Lions. And then Elton did excellent for us in the first test match, you know, when he came on for Andre, when Andre started cramping at the back end of that test match because he was in isolation for the COVID. So yes, it was a big toss up and in our discussion when we went through this selection process, it's a long season, you know. We're going straight into Rugby Championship against Argentina next week, and then it's the Rugby Championship in Australasia, and then the end of year tour. So it's pretty much keeping everybody up to date, giving them game time, try and spread the load, you know. So it's almost trying managing that. And like I say, we could have put Elton in there. It's almost like for like. Like I said, both of them were excellent in the two outings that they had against the British and Irish Lions.
Jacques, you wouldn't have had long to digest the changes made by the Lions, but they are significant midfield back three and front row. Does that suggest anything in particular around what you might face differently on Saturday?
Matt, yes, like I always said with the British and Irish Lions, you know, that's the wonderful thing that they have in terms of the squad that they selected. They can, like I said it numerous times, they can outflank you, they can go through you, they can try and go over you, you know. So, our challenge will be to adapt, as quickly as possible. I felt in the first test match, we struggled to adapt in the second half. When they changed the way they attacked us, and I thought in the second test we handled that a little bit better. So, as we always say in the squad or in the team, that we are solution driven, and you will always get faced with challenges in a test match, and you can do all the planning as much as you want, but there always will be challenges that arise in the test match, and we must find solutions for that. And nothing will change in terms of this third test. It's a do or die for both teams, you know. It's a final, and it's going to be massive.
On the subject of adapting, before you came head coach, it's fair to say you lived, breathed, and slept defence. How pleased are you with the defensive effort across two test matches where you conceded one try and that from a ball?
Yes, Matt. No, I think, hats off to the players. Kuba's sitting next to me. I always say, listen, the players, they make us as coaches look good. They're the guys that need to get the tap on the shoulder. You know, because they're the oaks who put their bodies on the line. They're the Peter Steves that injure their shoulders, the Foff that runs injuries, Duane, Luit in the World Cup final. I mean, they are the guys that sacrifice their bodies for their country. They're the guys that need to get the credit for that, you know. I'm just thankful that they are willing to do that and to sacrifice themselves for the country.
Thank you very much, Jacques. Thanks, Rayon. If I could come back to do this a little later, thank you.
Sure. Thanks, man.
Sure, thank you. From my side, Vince and Jens, our team last press conference, we also have Kubis Reiner here at the top table with John. And I would like to say now that the floor is open for questions. We have issued a statement relating to the charge of misconduct to Mr. Erasmus as well as Mr. Rugby. During this press conference, we are refraining from adding on anything onto that statement, please. So, if you have stick to the matter at hand, which comes with the announcement, I will greatly appreciate that. We will start the second bit of this press conference. We go over to Craig Lewis Crofton.
Afternoon, Ray. Thanks. Jacques, just one to you on Frank Mostert's playing at flank. How do you think he'll manage there? And how much will you miss Peter Steve to toy as well, being as influential as he is?
Yeah, it's always big losing a guy like Peter Steff. I mean, he was 2019, he was World Player of the Year. having him in the team, I mean, he's so accustomed to the role that he has to play as seven. But in saying that, Franco has covered us there a lot before. So we've moved him there before. And even in games, you know, he would always, even if he starts, he's always a guy that has to in the preparation up to the week, he covers, he has to both know both roles. And now I'm confident in him, and like you could see in on the weekend, I mean, we had no issue moving him there.
Thanks, Rayon. Hi, guys. Hope you're all well. Jock, I'm pretty sure you don't want to necessarily get as close as that, you know, in this deciding test, but how romantic would it be if Mr. Morneau staying, you know, is up on that field again and he has to slow the last minute penalty against the Lions again?
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't come down to that. But I mean, it's a fair comment in terms of, and that's probably one of the big things that weighed in Mornay's selection favour, you know, is the fact that he's been there, he's been in big games like this. He understands the pressure that it will be. Like I say, I think if you take World Cup final and you take this game, I think the pressure in this game is going to be similar to that, you know. It's a do or die. It's probably the... between the World Cup and the British and Irish Lions series, it's as big as it can get. And like Mornay has been there before. He's done it before, you know, in a big game in 2009. So not saying at all that Elton wouldn't have the big match temperament in terms of doing that. I've seen him do that before for us in big games as well. Thinking to 2018 in New Zealand, when we had our first victory there, we came on in the last 20-30 minutes and between him and Andre at 10 and 12, they had an unbelievable partnership and combination. So I mean, like I said, it's a long season, and we have to make sure that everybody stays sharp, stay match fit, handle the press. I feel Alton has done nothing wrong. If you go and look at his actions in that game that he played in against the British and Irish Lions in the first test, you can go through each and every action of him. His tackles, his carries, his kicks to touch, his kicks for poles. It was phenomenal. So yeah, it was just a decision that we made. Obviously, we feel that's the best way to go for this test match.
Good afternoon. Hi, Jock and coach. Jock, just two things. The injuries being a step in the park, are they very long term, or can you just give us a slightly more clarity on the length of those injuries? Looking forward to the rugby championship. But the second thing I want to do with this week is just The Warren Gatland has said you guys would have spent a lot of emotional energy last week to get up for that game, and he sort of compared it to the 2013 tour where Australia got up to the second test and then sort of faded mentally a bit in the third test. The signs from you seeing your team, do you feel that they look, you know, they don't look emotionally drained, they look mentally strong for this week? What's your take?
The first one was about... your first question, sorry, Craig, was the injuries. Yeah, Peter Steph is still getting checked out. He's seeing another specialist during the week, and we will probably have more clarity at the back end of the week. Faf has a soft tissue injury, so I think Faf will probably be between 3 and 5 weeks. You know, and soft tissue injuries, he's much better today. Already when I saw him this morning and we had a chat. So yeah, he's a soft tissue injury, but Peter Steph, like I said, he's going to see another specialist during this at the back end of the week. So we will probably have more clarity on him, and as I said after the game, he hasn't come off a lot in test matches, so let's hope it's not too serious. But yeah, he's not a guy that normally comes off. Then in terms of Look, big games like this, it takes emotional. It takes a lot of emotion out of you, or a lot of energy out of you in the build-up, emotional energy. A quarter-final of a World Cup semi-final final takes a lot of. It's draining, you know, because there's so much at stake. So. I didn't see Warren's comment, but yes, I agree with him if he say, listen, there's a lot of emotion going into these games, and they are. And it's something that we will have to handle as a group, and the same with them. It's something that they will have to handle as a group, you know. So, we spoke about it. Luckily for us in our group, they've been there before. It doesn't make it easier, but it helps you having that experience. Listen, I've been here before. I felt these butterflies before, and and you just have to work through it.
Thanks, Ray. Good afternoon, Jacques and Corbis. Jacques, having already shot this weekend's fixture, it's a marker, the first full series as box head coach, as the Georgia series was unfortunately cut short. I don't want to ask this question at the first match at presser when emotions are involved, but what have been the most, the best moments, or let me say, the worst moments as well for you thus far on the job? Therefore, Corbis, another opportunity to find out for the box. Do you think playing against the few guys in the ice camp in the Gallagher Premiership gives you more confidence and added advantage in understanding the opposition?
I would say the best moments in this series is probably, yes, to see this team adapt, you know. There was a... with COVID and with in the times we are currently operating and living, I mean, rugby isn't as straightforward as it was in the past. So, and we said it when we started with this whole campaign 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, that the team that adapts to the changes and the curveballs that gets thrown through COVID is probably going to be the team that walks out victorious at the end of the day, because yes, and we've been in situations where we were isolated for 5-6 days. We couldn't get out of our hotel rooms, and then a bunch of us got COVID, and we were in isolation for 10 days. We couldn't get out of our hotel rooms, and we had to coach online. So I think the best thing is probably how the team adapted to that. And then another highlight for me is after the first test match, the loss, you know, how the players got together in terms of being creative, having a proper review, making plans, and the ownership that they take and the investment they have within the team. It was a highlight to see, you know, and that's a nice thing where I think our team is growing, and we said, listen, we must evolve as a group and evolve on different levels, and that is probably one of the biggest evolutions we have to get to, is to change the way we handle and the way we do things, because we are becoming a more experienced side. So we will, and that was pleasing for me to see. The bad things was the disruptions, the curveballs, I would say, is the not being able to work with the team after the Georgia game. The last time I worked with the team was on that Sunday, and then I haven't worked with them before the game at all before after the game against the Bulls. So missing that coaching time with the group and not having a defense session with them, and the guys who took over, Rassie Stocker, Dion Dawn, I mean, all hands on deck. I love coaching, I love working with the players, I like being on the field. It's the highlight of my day, and not having had that for 2 weeks wasn't nice.
Yeah. Okay. I think it is a good thing that we know a lot of the players. As you can see in our squad, we have a lot of players that play in the UK. So, like Faf and them at Sale, they know the Curries, we know the Biggers and Laws and all of them. I think it is good, but even the players that don't know them, we've got enough video on them, we can look at them, we can analyze them. So at the end of the day, it's our team working together, me giving maybe a few triggers of Dan and Laws and this guy helping here and this and that, but I think overall we do enough homework on the team that everyone's ready for anything. And like Jockey said, they can go through you, over you. They've got a team that can do anything, so we have to be able to adapt.
Warren's comments and talking about the emotional energy and everything. And you know, a lot of people forget that before the World Cup final, you only had a 6-day turnaround, whereas now you're having a proper 7-day. I mean, you didn't play this one with this last test on a Sunday. How much easier does that make it? And then an ancillary part of my question is, how much will having been through that whole World Cup final and the experience, and you know, what Warren maybe is forgetting, that you must have had a lot of emotional energy in beating this team in the World Cup semi-final as well. How much of the experience of coming through that is helpful this week? Because, as you say, you are almost playing a World Cup final and you were successful in that World Cup final, so it should actually be helpful.
Gavin, that's how you grow as a team. I always say that's why I think, in my opinion, I might be wrong, why they call it test matches. Because each match that you play is a specific test. You know, and sometimes you fail that test, if you don't win the game. But I promise you, in your career, that same test that you maybe, and maybe the test is physicality, maybe the test is your ability to adapt, maybe the test is your ability to play fearless. So if you fail in a specific game, then or a test match, you will definitely get challenged with that same test again somewhere in your career as a player and as a coach. And you will only evolve in your career if you pass that test. So you know, that's the nice thing about test match rugby is every test is a test, and the test. We've played big games before as a Springboks where we lost, you know. If I go back, probably 2018, that England game at Twickenham where we lost at the end, and then the following game. So we struggled to close out to get the result at the back end. Even 2018 against New Zealand in Pretoria, we had a healthy lead and we didn't close out that game. We lost it. We led that game for 81 minutes and then we lost it in the 82nd. And that's what I mean. So as a team, we had to grow. We had to find ways and adapt and evolve and to how to close out games. And I think that's how you learn, by probably trying something, failing, trying and say, listen, that way doesn't work. Let's go in another way. And then eventually, I think big games like in that semi-final. I mean that. That was a massive game that we had to close out at the back end of the game, and that's where you take you grow a little bit, you know, as a team, and then you go into a final and you impress your moments. I mean, even in the World Cup final, even a last weekend, I mean, the score, I think I can't remember, but it was way deep in the second half. The score was 11-9. You know, it was on a knife edge. It could have gone either way. So it's being in that pressure moment that develop you. So yes, I like I said, I didn't read Warren's comments, you know, but he's right in saying that there's a lot of emotion that go into these big games because there is so much at stake, you know. You're playing for your country and you want to do it for your country, you want to do it for your fans, you want to do it for your family, you want to do it for the team, you don't want to disappoint you as a person, you know, you put in all the effort. So yes, there is a lot of emotional energy going into this game in both teams. And yes, you're right, Gavin, it does help us being there before. It doesn't make it easier, not at all. But you, when you're in that moment, you think, yes, I've been here before. And you can relate back to when you felt that, when you felt that pressure. So yes, and it's not, like you say, it's not a 6-day turnaround for us. It's a 7-day. So the nice thing for that is we can go through our normal process, as we normally do in a 7-day turnaround.
Thank you, Kevin, and thank you, Jacques. We probably have another 3 to 4 minutes for this section. We can fit in the best peers before we close off the person with young probably wants a very brief summary of the time. So, Matthew Pierce, over to you again.
Thank you, Raymond. If I could turn to Kouvis. Kouvis, I'll try and roll it into one given the time, but Jacques said sort of like-to-like replacement with you and Faf. I guess the biggest fundamental difference is the left foot dominance versus the right foot dominance when kicking. So if you could just talk about that. But then also, notwithstanding Andre Pollard's injury shortly after going to France, how much of a factor is that, having spent time with him at Montpellier, even if just in training and striking up an understanding?
Yeah, so yeah, Fafa is left, I'm right-footed. I don't think it matters too much. We only have to put a screen on the other side. Everything else stays the same, I think. Well, I know. So yeah, we all know what to do. We all have our jobs, and it doesn't change if it's me or Faf or Herschel. We know exactly what to do and when to do it, so it's just for us to go out there and execute it to the best of our ability. And what was the other one? Oh, me and Paulie. Yeah, well, we spent a whole year probably having every morning a breakfast together, seeing that we can't speak French yet. So the understanding is quite good, even though it was only trainings and all of that. But if you get here, the way we train here, you can find your combination, find your feet, or find your relationship in the time you've been here. We've been together now for how many weeks? Six, seven weeks. A long time, and it's only us. It's this little family together that wants to go out there and put out a performance that's worthy and makes the country proud and all of that. So the relationship between everyone here is probably to the highest it can be.
And Kouvis, if I could just ask you about the selection of the Lions scrum half. So Ali Price, once again in the starting lineup with Conor Murray on the bench. Does that say something to you about the way they want to approach the game from the first whistle?
Well, Ali started the first game, first test. They're both quality scrum halves, I think. They want to start probably with a little bit more pace, throw the ball around. Like we said, they've got a team that can do anything. I mean, it's four countries together. So we just have to be ready for anything. And then they've got Connor, who's been around for a long time, which can come in and finish a game if they have to, or close the game down. But again, it's up to us that we put our game on them and take their game away from them. So Ali is a quicker, I think, my opinion, Ali is a bit of a quicker nine, and Connor will bring calmness to the team.
Thank you, Kouvis. Thank you, Kouvis. Thank you, Matt. So we close off this section. Merci, Gunyan.
I want to say goodbye, thank you.
Okay, so ja, Percy, ja, die veranderinge wat gemaak is, daar was twee beserings in die wedstryd gewees. Die eerste een was aan Faf, en direk in Faf se plek het ons vir Kouvis. En die rede vir dit is Kobus in hoe ons wil speel en in hoe ons dinge doen is baie dieselfde as Faf. En as ek sê baie dieselfde dan bedoel ek nie. Ek bedoel ja, Kobus het sy spesiale karaktereigenskappe in sy spel wat daar is veranderinge in die twee buiten die feit dat een links en een regs is, maar daar is veranderinge in die twee in hulle kan ek maar sê in hulle skillset, maar die manier hoe hulle ontspan drijf, jy weet, allemaal in ontspan het sekere rolle wat hulle moet vervul en die manier hoe Kobus sy rol vervul en die manier hoe Faf sy rol vervul en daar spesifieke area is baie dieselfde waar Herschel bykie anderste is, so dit is die eerste verandering wat gemaakt is en dan die tweede verandering was in die plek van Pieter Steef, hy is ook beseerd, so ons het maar net Franco Mostert wat 5 gespeel het afgeskuif na Pieter Steef of nie afgeskuif nie, in Pieter Steef se plek ingeskuif op 7 waar hy klaargemaak het die naweek in die toets, en ons het verlore jager opgebring van die bank af en dan in loodse plek het ons vir Mornay Steyn gesit en daar was kan vir jou amper sê ure al lange debat oor moet ons gaan met 'n 6-2 bank of 5-3 bank en nadat ons het beide kante toe gevat het, die kant toe, daai kant toe, Elton Mornay het was baie naby en ons het besluit vir die naweek dink ons Mornay en uit die aard van die saak sy ervaring was in hierdie situasie al voorheen en dit is hoekom ons dis die veranderinge wat ons in die span aangebring het.
Okay. As ek jou vraag reg gehoor het, ek hoop ek antwoord hom. Daar is baie druk op elkeen van ons. Ons sien dit as 'n final, dit is 'n final, ons moet dit wen. So ja, daar is druk, maar so kan ons teruglê op die coaches wat vir ons die planne uitlê, ons almal in line aligned kry, sodat almal weet wat hulle moet doen, weet waarom dit te doen. En ons was al daar, so ons het, soos ons vroeër gesê het, jy kan terugval op daai prentjie van die gevoel waar yes, ons is onder druk, hoe hanteer ons dit, ons was al daar, ons moet net weer teruggaan en onthou, en weer eens, het val op die preparation wat ons insit in die week, en is al waarop ons nou focus, so, ja, ons kort 'n goeie week om goeie voet in die game in te sit.
Your assessment of the Australian performance, please, Trev, over the first two test matches, some changes made by the Lions. Just how satisfying was it for you personally to swap roles last weekend and produce such a dominant performance?
Yeah, first of all, I'd say like it's a I'm on mute. Good. Yeah, obviously scrum will always be challenging, but for me it's all about the pack. Obviously they swapped a few players in the past two tests that we played, and obviously yes, I did start the first test on tight head, but obviously as everyone know, we had a bit of a niggle here and there, and I was asked obviously to go to lose it, but for me it had nothing to do especially about me. It was about the pack, the unity, and how we were going to implement a few things in the game. So I had the backing from the coaches, the players, and I trusted that things were going to go well. So for me, once you put on that Springbok rugby jersey, whatever number it is, if you're in the front row, you know there's a job that you need to do, and you got a backing from the whole pack. So I think that was the success of it.
Trevor, it's impossible not to ask you about a delightful little video doing the rounds of your daughter celebrating you and seeing you on television. But she clearly thinks you're a tight end because she had a number 3 jersey.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously. That was the position that I've been playing at my union, and that when I came here and I played the Georgia test at and obviously the first test was obviously on number three. So I think maybe we can blame her mother on that. She should have made a one and a three. But yeah, it was just amazing for me and awesome for me to be able to see my whole one recognizing and enjoying watching a bit of rugby. So yeah, it brought a little bit of tears to my eyes when I saw the video for the first time. But yeah, she's always going to be my number one supporter, and that was just amazing for me.
Thank you, Trevor. France, some changes made by the Lions, and specifically at loose end, France, with Wyn Jones coming in and his Welsh teammate Ken Owens next to him. Booker, he was selected for the first test. How much of a different scrumming proposition is that for you going into this third test?
How's it, Matt? Afternoon. I think it's, you know, all of them are world-class players. We have to focus on ourselves, you know, and in our week's prep, you know, make sure that we are sorted and that our system is functioning 100%. You know, and then, as you saw, the impact Trevor and Vince and Malcolm made on the weekend, you know, it feels for me that everyone is at the same quality level. So personally, I feel the focus is on us in our prep for this week. Vinipola and Kawandiki moving to the bench. So that will be, you know, probably more on Vince. He's focused for the weekend, but yeah, as I said, I don't think a lot changes in our prep.
And how do you feel you've grown as a scrumming unit over the last couple of weeks, and particularly since you've all been back together and able to do live scrumming against each other?
Matthew, yeah, I think we've grown a lot. I think a lot of credit has to go to, you know, our back five. They bought in to our plan, and, you know, it's obvious without them, you know, we won't be able to generate power. And then secondly, I think, you know, the relationship between the props and the front rows, as Trevor said earlier, I think we're learning a lot from each other, and, you know, we're working together to make the team better. I know it may sound a bit cliche, but yeah, like the best example for me in that was, you know, coming off the field on Saturday and saw the impact, you know, the bench made. Really, it's really a big satisfaction for me.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Question from France, please. Hello? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Question about Rassi Erasmus and our coaching. Can you give us an insight into how much coaching Rassi does with the team between matches, you know, Sunday to Friday, basically? And then, secondly, on a match day during the game when he's coming onto the field, how much he works with the team and not the team?
Yeah, you know, Rossi has been involved with us, obviously, since 2018. I think everyone in the squad has a lot of respect for him. You know, whenever he guides us or he gives an instruction, guys will listen when he talks. We listen. But, you know, it's a coaching team, and, you know, everyone has their department. It's I don't know how to put this, you know, there's a system in place where everyone covers, all the coaches cover their areas. And we follow our coaching player relationship system, if that makes sense.
Thank you, Franz. And Shane, you're up next.
Thanks again, Rayon. Question for Trevor, please. Trevor, we're well aware, you know, that you've been sort of like a swinger, you know, in the scrum, you know, for 4 years now and stuff. But you have been playing a lot of tight end for the past few years and stuff. How was the adaptation, you know, from Lucid again last week? Was it in any way difficult, or did you feel it just could seamlessly, you know, sliding almost back into the number one position, just from a technical perspective and that type of thing?
Yeah, well, from a technical perspective, there's a lot of different things that happen there. I know most people just think that a prop is just a prop, but it was a bit challenging. It was a bit challenging for me to move back, because I think for the past, I don't know, maybe the last time I think I actually played on the loose head was 2016, I think. So it was a bit of a challenge. I've been playing loose head for the past 2 years. So moving from tight head to loose head was a bit challenging. But with that being said, I've got a lot of help from Ox, from Kitsi, from the guys that have been playing loose head for the past 2 years. And that's the nice thing about this group. And obviously the tight heads that you're scrumming against, Fran and them will obviously also try to help you and tell you, okay, try and do this a bit more. I hate it when a loose head does this and all those type of things. So as a group, we found a way to try and help each other, and because we all know it's for the better of the team. So the guy sat with me a bit and gave me a few pointers and saw how they told me how they do things and how we work out things. But obviously with Coach Dan, he's just an amazing, passionate guy when it comes to scrumming. So obviously he knows his thing, and I think he also played there a bit, and he gave me a few pointers as well. So I went into the game confident enough that we've done the prep, we've done the work, and I've been put into that situation a few times during training, and so I was confident enough to be able to pull in the jersey and go out there and put up a performance. But like I said in the beginning, and I think France touched on it as well, the credit with us always goes to the back five, because they've been immense. They just give their all every single time we go into a scrum, whether it's a training session or it's in the game. We've got so much firepower at the back that we just need to concentrate on the few things that we need to get right, and we know that they will always bring the heat from behind.
I think on the question of Coach Dion and Coach Don, I've really enjoyed working with them since they became a part of the team. As Trevor mentioned earlier, you know, Don is very passionate about scrums, and you know, I like it when the scrumming coach is passionate and wants to get everyone involved and makes everyone excited about scrums. So yeah, in short, I've really enjoyed working, you know, with Don at scrum time since day one, and learning a lot from him as we go on. And then Coach Dion, the same thing. I really enjoy working with him. I enjoy his passion for lineouts, his attention to detail, small stuff that really stand out for me in Coach Dion's coaching, is that attention to the detail and attention to the small stuff that you sometimes forget. So yeah, if that answers your question, really enjoy working with him.
Oh, must I answer that question you asked?
Yes, sorry.
Yeah, That's a tough one. And I would say actually earlier in my younger days when, not to say that I'm old, but, when I started playing, I was always a loose head. I've always, played loose head, and, there came a time in my career where, at unions where, we were short of tight heads and so forth. And I was asked to start covering that position. And at that time, if you had asked me, I would tell you that I'm a loose head, just helping out on tight head. But as time went on, that started to change, in all honesty. It started to change. And, If you asked me, maybe 2 weeks ago or so, and you say, Trevor, what position do you prefer to play? I would have easily, with no doubt, said, I'm a tight head. I can try and cover loose head, but, I'm full on tight head. And, I still feel the same way, but, right now I'm on loose head, and that's what the team needs, and that's what I'm gonna do. It has nothing to do about Trevor himself. It's about South Africa. It's about the green and gold. So even if they want to put me on lock, I would go, but I don't know if it would be a lineout option. But, for me, it's just wear the green and gold jersey wherever you need it and try your utmost best to give everything. And I think the coaches are reasonable enough to, they're not going to ask you for miracles. They're going to ask you for things you've done before, the things that they know you're capable of doing. So, I've got the backing from them and the backing from my teammates. So right now, Trevor Nyakane is covering loose head for the Springboks, and that's what exactly I'm going to do, and that's what I'm looking forward to do.
Thank you, Frans.
Ek dink daar dat die voordeel wat daar dalk kan wees is dat jy mekaar goed ken. Maar soos ek vroeër ook gesê het en Trevor ook genoem het, daar's so 'n goeie verhouding in die groep, in die pak self. Ons werk nou al vir 'n hele paar weke saam. Ons ken mekaar, ons eintlik al nie net weke nie, huidiglik weke. Maar ons is al 'n paar jaar saam betrokke by die Bokke. En ons speel ook te mekaar plaaslik. So ek dink die ouens ken mekaar redelik goed genoeg. Maar ja, om vir jou unie saam te speel is nou maar net bietjie meer tyd saam en bietjie meer ervaring van mekaar saam. Maar ek dink ook 'n ou wat nie by dieselfde unie as jy is nie, gaan dit nie 'n groot verskil maak nie. Ek dink ons ken mekaar goed genoeg.
Dankie Frans, thank you very much Trevor, ladies and gents, that conclude our team and our press conference.